The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Radio's Gil Alexander. Alongside our returning champion from Turks and Caicos, Kelly Bidlin, everybody back in the fold. How you doing?
Returning champion! And, I'm glad to be back. Happy to be back, Gil. I only thought about leaving you and staying there about four times.
Really?
And just continuing a career as a bartender for some bar down in Turks and Caicos.
It's a career. I can't blame you, man. Blue waters.
It's gorgeous.
White sandy beaches.
Fantastic.
Were you there long? Well, I guess you just answered it. I was going to say, were you there so long that you were like, okay, maybe I can't do this any longer?
Problem is when you go somewhere for a long period of time, right, you have those first few days where you're kind of getting settled in, and then you get very used to things.
Yes.
Like the idea of removing yourself from the day-to-day life that you've grown accustomed to over the first few days, that was a bit challenging.
Do you have that person in your life? I do. Deborah Song, fashion stylist, who claims that I cannot check out on an island, and I'm always like, oh yes, I can.
Oh no, yes,
I can.
But I will say it's like a Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? Because during the day, completely checked out, and then I'd be furious trying to figure out how to watch NBA games and stuff that night. That was a little bit more of an issue than I thought it was going to be.
Well, speaking of which, your travels to Turks and Caicos did not prevent you from doing very well in this VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, which is continuing. VSiN.com/challenge for all who want to see the standings here. Right now, as we get to the very end of the first round, or we're getting to the end of the first round. Of course, the Clippers and Nuggets series is the one outlier that's 2-2. Doug Kazarian, 14-3.
Whew.
Stevie Fezzik, 13-7. You are in third at 11-6 with JBT right on your heels at 11-7. How about that? How about that? Kelly Bidlin.
It's been a good first round so far. Yeah, I think I mentioned on my final days here, Vegas was ushering me out of town. It was. It's been good so far. Hit JT, Justin Thomas as soon as I left. So that was three golf outright hits in the past four tournaments. That was nice. And then NBA first round betting has been awesome so far. If the Clippers can win this series, it will be an excellent first round.
Well, that's the thing, right? So, you know, I was reminded of this last night watching the Stars and the Avalanche in hockey. The Avalanche in that series, and this is somewhat anecdotal, but not really. I couldn't find one hockey person, right, who thought that the Stars were going to win this series. They haven't yet. It's 3-2 Stars. And obviously there were injuries, too, involved in that. But still, all the hockey hardos, I didn't hear one person give the Stars a chance in this series. And the NBA equivalent of that is the Clippers and the Pistons, largely. Anecdotal to some degree, but I think that's kind of the consensus. Pistons down 3-1 in a series where, quite frankly, that should be 2-2. But it nonetheless, down 3-1. And now the Clippers, who play tonight. Tonight, it's four games in the NBA, three of which are potential closeouts in the Eastern Conference. All series in the East are of the 3-1 variety. The Pacers look to close out the Bucks. The Knicks look to close out the Pistons. And the Celtics look to close out the Magic. By the way, Pacers 8.5-point favorites, Knicks 5.5-point favorites, Boston 11.5-point favorites in those respective series. And then it is the Clippers and the Nuggets tonight, the only 2-2 through four games in the entire NBA playoffs, with the Clip Show as a 1.5-point road favorite. Do you have a play in any of these tonight?
You know what? I'd love to come back and be really exciting, Gil. But no, I have no bets at all tonight in any of these four games. Yeah, nothing so far. Look, I think there are the Clippers at this point. I'm just going to be riding my series bets with them. I do think that we are, now that you're kind of looking at a best of three in that series, the Denver home court. I was surprised after game four what we saw series price get reposted as. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer to a coin flip. Still get money, plus money on Denver. I wouldn't be wrong. I still like the Clippers. I think the Clippers should be up at least 3-1 in this series. But, man, you're talking about best of three now with Nikola Jokic on one side, and you get two games in Denver potentially. That's scary. I would be leaning, game-wise, would be leaning into the Clippers tonight, but, man, I really don't have much there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Nuggets go home and look solid in Denver. I think the Celtics take care of business tonight. However, if you were going to bet it, I think all series long, and I've made a couple of these, it'd be magic or nothing. I just don't know how you can lay all these points, especially when you look at such a short total between those two teams with Magic Celtics. I wouldn't be running to lay the points, but I do think the Celtics get done. Bucks, Pacers, Pistons, Knicks, I think, are interesting tonight. I could see Knicks winning big. I think they go home. I think they've stolen momentum a bit. I think they could put up a big number on Detroit tonight.
But yet no play from you.
No play yet. I'm waiting to see where this number goes. If it hits five, it'd probably be a bet on for me. And then the other one I'm waiting to see where this number goes is Bucks Pacers. I think that there is, I think there's a lot of people running to overreact to Damian Lillard being out and Bucks season's done. Yes, Bucks season is probably done. But when you're talking about catching 7.5, 8 points, with this Bucks team, who, keep in mind, played a lot of basketball without Damian Lillard toward the end of the season and really saw their offense come into form, I think this might get over-adjusted a little bit. I'm going to be watching this one today. It would be Bucks or nothing for me there from the game, but Pacers series bet for me. I'll be rooting on that one getting home.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on these other two, 3-1s, out west specifically. Obviously, the Cavaliers and the Thunder, respective one seeds, completing their sweep, so they move on to the second round. But the 3-1 series in the West are not built like the 3-1 series in the East, because in all cases of the 3-1 series in the East, it is the home team, or excuse me, the lower seed, if you will. Pardon me, I always get lower and higher seed messed up. The higher seed, who came in with the home court advantage, they get chances to win it in Game 5 tonight, and then if that fails, they have Game 6 and 7 to still get that opportunity, 7 being back at home. West, it is the lower seeds that have the 3-1 lead, right? Respectively, the Timberwolves, the 6th seed with a 3-1 lead over the Lakers, game five headed back to the Lakers, to LA rather, with Minnesota only getting home court, of course, in game 6. That's how it works when you are the lower seed. Same will be the case with the Warriors, as they head into Game 5 at Houston, not tonight, of course, but only Game 6 back in San Francisco. So it's a little different, a little bit different of an alchemy, obviously, in those series. But I'm curious, because of that, does a adjusted series price on either the Lakers or the Warriors interest you? The Lakers or the Rockets interest you at all? The Rockets are what, about a 7-1 shot? Is that right? 6-1, let's call it. And the Lakers are only getting plus 350 on the Lakers to come back from a 3-1 deficit. Do either of those series prices, adjusted series prices, interest you?
That Lakers price is a joke.
It is. Total joke.
Rockets, I would be much more interested than the Lakers. I think you've got some, I mean, Warriors game, and we'll talk about it from last night. It was incredible, but Jimmy Butler, you do have to say, he looked very much injured, playing injured through a lot of that game before fourth quarter Jimmy shows up and kind of puts things away.
27 points, 12 of 12 from the stripe.
But I think there's still questions and concerns about that going forward, and this Rockets team, look, they got to have that. We knew this was going to be a problem heading into this. Where's the consistent offense going to come from? And Jalen Green, when you do nothing like you did last night, it's going to be very tough for this team to win basketball games. But we see them dominating Golden State, on the offensive glass. Steven Adams with huge games. They've unlocked something there a little bit, which is going to give you extra possessions, extra opportunities. And in a playoff-type atmosphere, that is massive. So, look, I think, yes, Warriors probably get it done still, but if I had to bet on one of those, it would be Rockets. The one I'll bring up with the Lakers, Gil, I feel like this is a lot more of the national media rhetoric that I've heard the past couple days, but the Timberwolves have been constructed and have constructed this roster since the Karl Anthony Towns trade. There should be no surprise about Minnesota having a 3-1 lead over the Lakers. Everybody's freaking out about the Lakers' season possibly coming to an end. The trade wasn't for this year, Gil. The trade was for the future of what to happen to the Lakers.
I have pointed that out a few times in your
It's episode. Driving me insane. Everybody's like, well, they traded for Luka. What a disaster. What a disaster.
Kelly's getting very angry.
I can't believe how much I'm hearing of this.
If you had less than one segment for Kelly to get angry, it cashes.
I mean, the Lakers are playing, they're essentially playing, in my mind, with house money this postseason. Like, this roster is a nightmare. J.J. Redick getting killed for playing those guys every minute in the second half. I don't necessarily blame him, Gil, because where else is he supposed to turn to?
You can't. And you have four guys scoring almost all your points. It's not a recipe for long-term success this year. Back to your Jalen Green points. This is the four games in this series. 7 points, 38 points, 9 points, and 8 points. That ain't going to get it done. Last night, by the way, Butler, 27, as I mentioned, on 12 of 12 shooting from the line. Pajemski, what a game. 26 points, 6 of 11 from behind the arc. Curry with only 17, so it was not a big Steph Curry game, and somehow the Warriors figure it out in the end. In defeat, Alperen Şengün, 31 and 10, dominating whenever he sort of wants to. He just backs up to the basket and gets it done. Didn't on the last shot. Van Vliet, I mean, this was a game that the Rockets just squandered from Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah.
25 points on 8 of 12 shooting from behind the arc, and that 12th was the desperation one to try to tie it. He was just insane. But the Rockets were only 19 of 31 from the stripe. So that had a lot of bearing on the game last night as well. In a game where Golden State was down 7 at the half and started the third quarter on an 18-1 run, and still, you know, were down late, figured out a way to win it. Just an unbelievable an outcome there. It didn't get the cover, though, as many of us who had the Warriors minus 3.5 lamented, but they do win by 3. And it just feels like they might not be the better basketball team, but they're the much more experienced, and that's what the candy cap was coming into this series, and so far it's manifest.
I mean, just look at the end of that game last night, right? Kerr, awesome, going to Hack Adams to get him off the court.
Genius.
Right? Jimmy Butler showing up in the fourth quarter, that's what you bring him in for, and then Draymond Green shut down defense at the end of that game to seal it.
Mark Borcher's on the show to talk baseball with us, Paul Carr, Champions League, Drew Dinsick on the NBA and tennis. We'll talk Browns week one starter odds. Some hypothetical round 2 series odds in the NBA. We'll get to those on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly's back.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin, still losing weight, yes?
No, not at all.
Oh,
I was
no.
Just say, worst part of vacation? Oh, man, I stepped on that scale yesterday. Whoo!
It all came back quick.
We were 5 pounds up from a week before, Gil.
Oh, 5 isn't so bad,
I wasn't happy about it. I actually worked out a few times on vacation, but the amount of frozen beverages and stuff by the pool that I was drinking was, and then eating a lot, it made sense.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm sure you'll be back down in a heartbeat. Master of Puppets. The problem with the 100 men versus gorillas thing is 20-30% of the men will run as soon as the gorilla tears apart the first 5 men. So right there, we're down to 65 men left. Gorilla by a billion after that.
We got to take it easy with you. I could do a 5-hour show on this because I need to know how much planning there is for,
again,
for the people.
Again, I've answered all your questions. You have all the planning.
So they're
in the
all
world.
Just thrown in right away. This is like Squid Games. What's it called? Squid Games, right?
Yeah.
Hunger Games. Squid
Pre-flop,
Games.
You have all the you know, you'll schedule the event with the gorilla. He will abide by your schedule. You'll have as much chance to pre-flop plan it as you want.
Do I get to recruit the 99 other people?
Absolutely.
I'm assuming I'm a part of this.
99 humans. Whoever 99 others you want to be, you want to get. The gorilla's winning every time, dude. Jamie Leva, it's great to have you back. Time out. I have to make bone weapons out of gym. This is the magic Kelly and Gil provide.
Yeah, you're skipping over that part. I think my bone weapons is a serious part of this equation.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. Thank you, Jamie. You too. You don't have timeouts allotted. You can't like make.
Yeah,
weapons.
You said I get all the prep time I want.
Yeah, pre-flop, not during.
Right. So like, you know, who was it? Jeff and a few of his buddies got to go.
Jim, let's get it right.
Jim, yeah. Jim and Jeff and a couple other people got to go so I can make their femurs into swords.
Yeah, but that's already after it started. You can't do that during the middle of it.
No, I said you said prep time.
Pre-flop, before the event
right,
starts.
Right, yeah, so I'm going to start with 97. Because
you're going to kill them
that's
prematurely?
Right, yes.
I don't think you're...
I'd rather have 97 in weapons than 100.
I don't think you're allowed to have those weapons. Now you're just making up some nonsense. Now,
I'm just asking questions.
Suspension of belief was one thing. Now you're going in a nonsense area. Drew Dinsick joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from the LBC, where we haven't had a chance to talk to Drew about the NFL draft. It comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor. It's NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. How you doing, Drew?
I'm good. I've been spending my week equally fruitlessly trying to handicap animals and people. although it's been for the Kentucky Derby. I'm getting nervous now. I've spent about half of my full 120 hours of prep to this point. I feel like I'm in good shape, but I got a long way to go. And it is always a wild and seemingly difficult balance, right? Say, yes, this was time well spent. 120 yes. hours studying a horse race that takes 120 seconds.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, will there be potentially more reward than handicapping gorillas and humans? Yes. But ultimately, it's still as ridiculous.
Okay. Well, so I feel that way too. But now let's be honest. You're going to be on the broadcast, right? Is this going to be on NBC Network or on Peacock? Which is it going to be on?
I'm just digital, man.
You're just digital.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just digital. But we're doing. I'm in total. I'm going to record probably. I'd say like 2 or 3 hours worth of stuff in small chunks go up like kind of throughout the weekend on the NBC news feed, NBC Sports YouTube, and everywhere else you look for information. Last week I'd say last year, the most successful piece of content I did in my 5-year history of working for NBC was the boots on the ground morning of the Derby, boots in the mud.
Yes, I remember
kind of
that.
Report live from the track, handicappers, friends, strangers alike, all kind of very thankful for getting up early on Saturday morning to get out there and review the conditions and talk about the expected conditions for the race. So that'll be for sure on the card on Saturday morning. We'll be out there looking at the course. But the good news is, not going to be boots in the mud this year. It's going to be dry. Looks like Friday afternoon through Saturday morning. So we are expecting a dry and fast track for the races on Saturday.
Okay. And you were dressed for the part. I remember this well. Mystic Dan. Mystic Dan ends up winning the Derby last year. Can you provide us, pardon me, I'm getting emotional. Can you provide us with some of the results of your handicapping?
Sure. It's a really, really good race this year. There are at least 16 horses that have a non-trivial chance to win. The current favorite is Journalism. Big J Journalism coming out of California is your 3-1 morning line shot. He is about plus 270, plus 280 in the offshore market. That is a huge, huge, huge number for implied winning percentage, considering how good this field is, in my opinion. So I am almost certainly going to be against Journalism. The reason Journalism has this huge, huge price is, it's not a huge price, but the reason he has this huge implied probability is he defeated the Baffert horses thoroughly throughout the California prep campaign. If we flash back in time to like January, their narrative around the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby wasn't even, will this be Bob Baffert's 7th win in his return after his 3-year suspension? That wasn't even the story. It was, which Baffert horse is going to win this race? Because it's going to be one of them, because he had like 5 that were all like at the very top of the futures pool that were kind of like the hottest horses. He had the 2-year-old champion in Citizen Bull. And so most of the kind of attention shifted from, wow, which of these Bafferts is going to win, to, wow, look at this horse Journalism who keeps beating the Baffert horses. And while his runs have been spectacular and he has kind of proven everything you want out of a 3-year-old to this point in his career, his speed figures are amazing. They all come in really small fields. Like the California races were just lightly attended. And, you had 5 and 6 horse fields for a lot of these kind of big time California prize, graded stakes. And so I'm still need to see him be able to, navigate a trip in a 20 horse field at that kind of a price. And I'm not sure I'm seeing it. So it's going to be against Journalism for me at this current price point. And, and then the big question becomes, are you going next tier to take down this race, or are you going for a real price? And for me, at least, it has all been about one horse who's coming in at a big, bomb of a price in 30-1 on the morning line in American Promise. American Promise is a Justify Colt. He's the only Justify Colt in the field, and he's a late foal, which means that rather than kind of being foaled in January and February, he was foaled in early May. In fact, his birthday, I think, is on Thursday. And so he is the youngest of the three-year-olds in the field, but he is also the biggest. He is a monster physically, and he won the Virginia Derby with one of the most impressive runs that I saw of any horse in the entire prep cycle. And it was like his coming out party, honestly, because he's just finally coming into the physical gifts that he was given, you know, by Justify, his sire, and by Tappet, his dam sire. So he has all the pedigree you want to run a big race. He's trained by Dwayne Lucas.
Yes.
A name that you may know, four-time winner of the Kentucky Derby, last won in 1999. I think on the 26th anniversary, we're going to get another Dwayne Lucas winner, an American Promise. I think he's breaking out of the five. He's going to be at or near, you know, stalking the early pace. He, I think, takes a step forward from his Virginia Derby win, where he set the track record in the mile and the mile and an eighth in the same race. And I think he has the goods to be a contender at a huge, huge price. So,
wow. What are you seeing? 30,
I have a million
30
other
to
thoughts
1?
On the Derby, but
30 to 1?
I don't think he'll go. I don't think he's going to be more like 18 to 1, I think, because people are going to bet this horse.
I'm seeing exactly 18 offshore right now.
18 to 1. Okay. American Promise out of the five, as Drew just mentioned, out of the five position, Dwayne Lucas horse. Can I ask a novice horse racing question? We were throwing around, was it Cornucopian for the last couple months? Cornucopian didn't end up in the Derby at all.
That's the whole wild kind of arc of the spring. Not only did Cornucopian not qualify for the Derby, they sent him to Aqueduct last Sunday to run a claiming race, and he got his butt kicked.
Oh man!
Like the Baffert horses have just underwhelmed and disappointed at every single turn so far. Barnes at one point was top three choice in the futures pool. He's not in the race. Matticat Road at one point was a top three choice from out of the Baffert barn. He's running the Pat Day Mile on Saturday. So really the only two Baffert horses that got in were Citizen Bull, largely qualified based on his two-year-old champion run at the Juvenile BC last year, and Rodriguez, who only punched his ticket because Baffert sent him to New York to run the Wood Memorial in what was a pretty weak field. And he put up good speed figures. He went wire to wire. He had the perfect trip. Nobody really challenged him. So, you know, it's not hard to find reasons to doubt the Baffert horses. And then when you consider the fact that him being back and being the story and kind of just the history of how much his horses take money, I think there's a pretty good reason to steer clear of them. Although Citizen Bull is going to be a tough to pass, even out of the one. Just based on what he did at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Hey, Drew, you got your hat picked out yet? That's what I really want to know. Do you
yeah,
new
Dwayne
hat
Lucas
every year?
This year, so going cowboy hat this year in honor of the coach who's going to bring us home a big score in the Derby.
Okay.
Last thing on horse racing, because I want to get to the NBA and maybe some tennis on the other side in the NFL draft. Is there a Triple Crown horse in this field? Is American Promise a Triple Crown horse?
I would be pretty surprised, but I think it's absolutely possible considering he's got Tappet blood, which means the Belmont Stakes is a realistic chance, but Preakness is going to be a tough one.
Okay. The mile and a quarter Kentucky Derby, Drew throwing his hat in the ring for American Promise. Coming back, more Dinsick on the other side right here in a numbers game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA and NHL playoffs are heating up. MLB is in full swing, and the Kentucky Derby is almost here. Don't just watch, bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Right now, get full VSiN Pro access through August 1st for just $59, saving you over 33% off the monthly price. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily recap of best bets from all VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide dropping tomorrow, April 30th, with previews and best bets on the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. Every sport, every edge, one low price. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets of beating the book. You know, we do horse racing here with Drew. He's, you know, a very thorough analysis of the Derby. We're talking NBA. Major League Baseball, whatever it is we're talking about. And then everybody wants to just tweet about one thing.
Oh, of course. That's how it works.
Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, suggestion. Put aside an hour one day during summer when content is harder to fill to discuss Kelly's plan versus the gorilla, because those 2 minutes you just did before Drew was completely awesome. Nevada Azer, hey, Gil, the gorilla in a route. Easy. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Stringfellow Hawk, don't mean to beat a dead gorilla. But how many Chuck Norrises would it take? I'll set the over-under at 63.5. Here's the point, guys. It doesn't matter if it's Chuck Norris or any human being, you know, 100 MMA fighters. It doesn't matter. A gorilla can kill a human with one arm swipe and can crush the bones of an alligator in one grip. You guys have no idea what you're up against here.
You're underestimating the
human species.
Yes, I'm not. You are. Okay.
I'm not.
If I get to recruit the 99, there's going to be a lot of planning involved.
Yes. If you could plan a coordinated military strike on the gorilla, then okay. But that's not part of this.
That's Jim's bones.
No.
Coordinated military. By the way,
would
you like really quick 30 seconds of hilarious open bets in my Caesars account?
Oh, please.
These are the open bets. Yeah. I love doing this. Yes. They're still open. Giannis to win MVP 35-1.
Maybe still a chance.
But, yeah, done or not done yet? DL, you answer, okay? Luka Doncic 17-1 to win MVP.
Yeah, that's not gonna be
there. There are three Tyler Hero to win most improved player awards at 55-1.
Yeah, pretty sure that's not a winner either.
Good number.
Yep.
Cornucopian 66-1 to win the Kentucky Derby.
Derby hasn't happened yet. You never know.
And then the Oklahoma City Thunder plus 120 to win the Western Conference.
That one could win.
That one's got legs.
Drew Dinsick joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. All right, Drew, we got a lot to get to. So let's try to we'll try to do brief on this. Once. Reaction to, real briefly, Defensive Player of the Year NBA ends up Evan Mobley. Your thoughts are? That's a good response.
I don't know. I'd never saw it. I'm glad, happy for him. He's a great young player. I would have given him sincere consideration for most improved player and not Defensive Player of the Year, but the voting is a weird, you know. The fact that so much coalesced around him right in the wake of the Wemby injury was enough to get him across the line, I guess. I love the Cavs. Yeah, separately, though, like love what the Cavs are doing.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that momentarily. I want to crescendo to the NBA. Yeah. How did your NFL draft go?
Oh, incredible.
You had a great draft.
Incredible draft.
Good for you.
Incredible draft.
What was the big winners for you in the end?
I think I had like one loss, and it was a super long shot. And then I had found money in stuff like I had Shooter Sanders to the Browns at 6-1 for April 9th. I don't even remember why I bet that, but that was like to win 500. It was, you know, not obviously it's not, you know, not buying a boat with this money, but you know, still, like, it was like after the Browns took Dylan Gabriel, I was like, I literally like messaged somebody. I was like, oh, I hope Shooter just goes undrafted now so that I can get my $82.92 back, you know?
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Browns anyway. I was like, wow. So, you know, no, the NFL draft betting, basically everything broke in my favor. Basically the same for Luke Vegas Refund as well. Like his stuff was unbelievably hot. Avoided any kind of damage related to the Jags trading up to two, which was nice. It was a really, really good Thursday.
Yeah, you had the general narrative you had right, which is the last 48 hours was all noise in the end. The whole Genty to the Jaguars or Tetero McMillan to the Jaguars, all of that. Any tennis left today for you in Madrid?
I'm just sweating out the Jack Draper future for Madrid period. He comes through 1-0 against Berrettini, who retired after losing the tiebreak.
Walkover.
Like what I'm seeing from Draper so far a lot. I still think that if you can find a decent price on him, I still think he's your winner.
Yeah, Matteo Berrettini did not have to lay down and Draper walk over him. I know that was your next question.
We need to add that rule. Come on.
Okay, to the NBA. How's that going for you, and what do you like tonight in a quartet of games, three of which are potential closeouts?
Yeah, overall up on the playoffs so far after an ice cold start, so I'm pretty happy right now. I think the major takeaways I've had so far, I'm still not sure why the market is a little bit shy pricing these Cavaliers team. They are a super team. I think my fair for them against the Pacers is going to be about -605. I think -1.5 games against the actually -2.5 games against the Pacers is going to be a bet, because I think that series is mostly 4-0, 4-1 outcomes. Celtics, I do think, come through tonight and close out the Magic, and I think they ultimately will face the Knicks and likely come through 4-1 as well. My price for that series is kind of similar ballpark as my Cleveland -605 against Indiana. So the second round in the East to me looks a little bit snoozy, a little bit chalky. The West right now, I should mention it, as far as plays tonight, I very much like Detroit plus the 5.5 points, but I think that's probably a closeout game. I laid the Clippers -1.5. I think they ultimately win in 6. Indiana, I haven't laid the 8, but I probably will. I think Milwaukee is drawing dead. And then tomorrow I laid 4.5 with the Houston Rockets against Golden State. I took the 5.5 points with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I bet over 210. Minnesota, I think, can close out tomorrow, but maybe it takes till game 6. Minnesota, I think, is just neutrally the better team than the Lakers, and they're still not being priced like that. Golden State, to me, might be in a spot of difficulty despite being up 3-1. I like some things about what the Rockets can do in terms of shuffling their lineup, and Ime Udoka basically has admitted he needs to do that, which is good, which is why I think the Rockets game five is a good bet, and why they could force a game 7. It wouldn't shock me. And now, of any of the series to get to game 7, I think that's the most likely, just because I'm not buying this Nuggets potentially being revived really at all. I think Golden State Houston game 7 would be a fun opportunity to see what kind of price we get on a total. Like would they go as low as 180? You know, like, it's possible. It has first to 90 kind of vibe to it. The Warriors to me look like they're running out of gas, and it's a little bit concerning. And I kind of like the adjustments that Ime has left in his back pocket for lineups for the Rockets. So we'll continue to monitor that situation. But if the Warriors do come through, I think they are in deep, deep trouble against a Minnesota Timberwolves team. Everybody, I think, is miles behind the Oklahoma City Thunder right now in the West.
What is, I asked this earlier, by the way, you did a great job of answering questions that I asked earlier on the show. So that was awesome. That was very thorough. If it is a Warriors Timberwolves, and I know you're saying the Warriors have a lot of work to do here, but if it is a Warriors Timberwolves, after all, both teams are up 3-1, a 6-7 matchup, if you will, with the T-Wolves, the 6 getting home court, what would you price that series at?
Okay, let me pull that number up right now. This is probably the one matchup that I just kind of like gut says that the Warriors are in trouble. My fair price says Minnesota -113 in that one. But I think realistically, you're probably going to get around a pick 'em plus 120 on Minnesota there, just based on how there has been sort of a premium around Steph Curry and company. I think they're in trouble in that series.
If the Warriors were -175-ish or whatever they were against the Rockets, they will go all the way down to that against the T-Wolves? Interesting.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, the market has a lot more respect for Anthony Edwards and company than they have for the Rockets, period. I think the Rockets were pretty much the 7th best power-rated team, only ahead of the Grizzlies of all the Western Conference playoff teams.
The Rockets-Warriors series is infinitely fascinating, and I'm with you. It's not over, and I'm a Warriors guy, even up 3-1. The Rockets seem to control the boards at will. Last night, they shot terribly from the line. They missed 12 free throw attempts. That would have altered the outcome of the game, obviously. They seem to have just, Şengün can do whatever he wants, generally speaking, in all these games. And yet, they're the Warriors. So, you know, I know it's an NBA hard-o position to be all about the Clippers and all about the Pistons. The Pistons one isn't working out so well, even though that should probably be 2-2. It's fascinating. Been a great NBA playoffs, man. Been awesome.
Yeah, it has been a lot of drama. And again, like the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals stand out as probably two of the potentially best series that we will get in the last 10 years.
Ooh, I love it. Congratulations on your NFL draft success. Drew Dinsing, everybody, at whale_capper. Thank you, sir.
Best luck, guys.